This summer we have been reading the Psalms. Today we come to the 104th Psalm. It is a lovely psalm. It is also a long psalm, so I have asked Ryan to join me in reading it. So listen for God's word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers.
You set the earth on its foundations, so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth.
You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work.
You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw to lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening.
O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks upon the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I learned to love nature from my father. When we were at our mountain cabin, he would give me a dime for each new wildflower I identified. On summer nights, he pointed out the constellations to me and showed me Saturn and Jupiter in his telescope. He taught me the difference between eastern hemlocks, where the needles grow flat like they've been pressed together between books, and Carolina hemlocks, where the needles emanate in all directions, something like umbrella spokes. Daddy was a great birder. I can see him now as he would stop and turn and look and listen whenever he heard a bird song. He never traveled without his binoculars. He kept a life list of all the different bird species that he had seen all over the world. There were over 1,000 species on his list. When he was 93 years old, he and my mother went to Antarctica, where they traipsed around in down coats and boots on a glacier so that Daddy could observe the penguins, which he had seen, of course, in zoos, but never in their natural habitat. Unfortunately, I can identify only an embarrassingly few avian species, but I do know that there is something special about being outdoors, in the woods or at the beach or even in my yard. A couple of mornings a week when I go out to retrieve the newspaper, I stop and pull weeds for 10 or 20 minutes. I think a botanist once lived in our house and took great pleasure in planting a zillion different plants and bushes and flowers. However, it takes great vigilance to keep these beautiful beds from being overrun by chickweed and chamber bitter. I grumble a lot about weeding, but I've begun to realize that it's important to my spiritual health. Weeding grounds me, literally. It causes me to enjoy the morning light and to listen to the morning sounds. It even commands a certain awe and respect for the tenacious little organisms whose eradication puts dirt under my fingernails and an ache in my back. In short, weeding connects me with God's creation, and that's a good thing. The author of Psalm 104 is very connected to God's creation. I hope you heard the psalmist's delight in the wonder and in the diversity of the world God has made. From the sound of thunder to the roar of young lions. From the cedars of Lebanon to the springs gushing forth in valleys. From the wild goats on the mountains to the monster sporting in the sea. From the darkness of night to the sunrise each morning, the psalmist sings a psalm, a hymn of praise to the divine imagination, which is limitless. What could be more different than a feathery stork and the fir tree in which it nests? What could be more unlike than conies, little furry rodent-like creatures in the rocks where they find refuge? Yet, they all belong to the intricate web of life on earth as God has made it. Scientists tell us that we are all part of a luminous web that has been in the making for billions of years. And yet, as wonderfully diverse as is God's creation, scientists also tell us that we are all one. Our mutual flourishing depends upon the well-being of all. Everything is connected to everything else. And what's more, we are all made of the same dust, stardust, as it were, from the Big Bang. Barbara Brown Taylor, writing about the connection of a religion and science, says this: "Every cell on Earth, whether it belongs to a patch of blue-green algae or a human brain, consists of the same 50 organic molecules. We all use four kinds of nucleotides. We all need 20 amino acids. We all carry our blueprints inside of us in the form of DNA and RNA. The cells in our bodies are living fossils over 3.5 billion years old. What they suggest is that all life comes from the same source, which makes us all kin: algae, tadpoles, skunks, and the blue jays, not to mention elephants and cats. In the end, all living creatures return to the dust from which we come, as the author of our psalm acknowledges to God. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. We are remarkably different and yet remarkably the same. This amazing universe and our wondrous planet did not happen by accident. Psalm 104 is an ode to our Creator. We aren't just a cosmic hiccup, but designs of a divine artist, a divine architect, a divine web builder. Creation isn't amoral, but it's good, it's very good, and it delights God. God's not just sovereign over the universe, but joyful about it. God rejoices in God's work, and if we are paying attention at all, we do too. God is not only behind creation like a divine watchmaker, but God is in all creation, a little like the way a parent is in her child through her genes. The theological word for this is panentheism. Not pantheism, which is God is everything, but panentheism, God is in everything. The 9th century Irish theologian John Scotus Eriugena taught that there are two books of Revelation: the book of Scripture and the book of creation. That is, we know God through the Bible, and we know God through nature because God is in nature. We need both to comprehend the fullness of God. The Celts talk about thin places. Thin places are where God's presence shines through particularly brightly. For some of you, this sanctuary might be such a place. You are missing this room, which shimmers with the myriad of prayers prayed, sermons preached, vows spoken, tears shed, and thanks uttered. But all of us, I dare say, know of one or more places in nature where the veil separating heaven and earth is thin, and where, when we are there, we know that we are in the presence of God. Perhaps your thin place is at the lake, or down by the river, or in your own garden. There are these sacred places where the craziness of life just melts away and we sense peace and oneness and holiness. God is in, of course, all creation, but it's just more apparent to us in some spots than others. Creation isn't a one and done thing, it's ongoing. God's energy, God's will, God's breath sustain all of it. We've been bottle fed on the myth of independence, but it's a fallacy to think that we are autonomous operators in this world. All of life is dependent upon God. We are dependent upon God. That's the lesson that the Israelites had to learn before they were allowed to enter the promised land. In the wilderness, where they could not produce things for themselves by their sweat or their wit, they were forced to rely upon God to sustain them daily with manna. That's not an easy lesson to learn. It took them 40 years. We are not self-made. We did not get here by our own bootstraps. Everything we have is a gift from God. So what's our response? Our response is to take care of our planet and the beings in it. The author of the creation story in Genesis chapter 2 may have been the first published environmentalist. In that story, God forms the human from the dust of the ground and puts him in a garden to till and keep it. God then brings to the human animals, also formed from the same ground, to name. So all living things are related, and our vocation is to be a good steward. Theology and ecology are joined at the hip. And of course, our fellow human beings are included in our caretaking charge. When the first human child killed the second, God said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain's lame reply reveals to us that we are to keep and protect and do no harm to our fellow humans. Put more positively, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. That jarring verse near the end of Psalm 104, "Let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more," is the psalmist's way of saying that there is no place in God's marvelous creation for the perversion of it by the presence of sin and wickedness, by the presence of greed and envy, or by man's inhumanity to man. Being a good steward begins with paying attention. It begins with observing what God has made, be it the reddening sunset, or ripening berries, or your own body. It means becoming familiar with creation, naming the wildflowers and the birds, the weeds. "Look at the birds of the air," Jesus says. "Consider the lilies of the field." Pay attention. See how God has made and cared for these seemingly insignificant and fleeting plants and animals. Think then how God has made and cared for you. The advice is what we read in our Dick and Jane primers, and what I learned from my birdwatching father. Stop. Look. Listen. In this season of sheltering in place, I think we are all suffering from cabin fever. So turn off your TV, close your laptop, put down your phone, and go outside. Take a walk, take a drive, visit your favorite thin place, or just sit in your lawn chair or by the window and pay attention. If you watch just an ant for even a few seconds, you can't help but be in awe. If you contemplate your breath, you may become a mystic. Life is a wonderful gift. What a marvel it is. As Albert Einstein is supposed to have said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. Even amid the chaos and uncertainty of this world, I am betting on the latter. Everything is a miracle. I'm with Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you made them all. Praise the Lord.